In today's episode, Dr. Kashi has a real-life client case study showing the ADAPT framework in action. The Good Doctor reviews the ADAPT framework and how it can work for any situation. The client in this episode went from pre-diabetic to healthy ranges and down 23 pounds in 3 months. Listen to Dr. Kashi recount this amazing story.
Roll the intro!
Hello, and welcome to Coffee with Kashi. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Kashi, and today's episode is the amazing closeout of the problem-solving trilogy, the series using the ADAPT framework to solve problems. This is an exciting one because we're doing a real-life case study going over exactly how to use this. And we are using Tabitha as an example. Who we discussed at the end of the last episode. Real client, real result, crazy stuff happening. So keep an open mind here when we're going over this information. Again, this episode is focused on how Tabitha used this framework to drop the microphone in front of Dr. Kashi's face to solve blood pressure issues, blood sugar issues, other metabolic derangement, drop nearly 100 pounds, and keep it off 3 years later. All right? A little bit of a disclaimer here. This framework makes appearances all the time, and because the coaches integrate it consistently and the staff integrates it consistently, we all use it all the time. Sometimes it wears a different mask. This is, however, the general problem-solving structure that is used all the time, okay? Now, up until Tabitha joined TKN, she had two modes. She had two modes. Mode one, set it and forget it, and mode two, now or never. This is one of the first sessions that we're going over today to transition her from impulsive, rigid, and demanding and dogmatic mode to the rational, flexible, constructive, and science-minded mode. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Maybe you can identify with those two modes as well, but now or never, and set it and forget it. Variations on the good and bad and black and white and those other, you know, psychological binary themes. Now, since biology is on a continuum, it's best to craft solutions and analyze outcomes in the context of a continuum as well. I have so many cups. It's wonderful. So, throw down a hashtag tantrum if you've ever given up on something because it was too frustrated for you at the time. And now looking back, you realize how you could have totally rocked it. Throw down a hashtag tantrum if that's something that you've experienced before. It's good to know other people have been through that too. At least biology is way more forgiving than your psychology is. Probably because it operates on a continuum of self-correcting feedback loops. Sorry. Psychology does weird things. Biology is pretty forgiving. It's wonderful. No, stick to that side of the equation, eh? So it's time to review the Adapt to Solve framework one more time before we hop into what Tabitha did to have such fabulous results, all right? You resolve to solve a problem by adapting to it. You have A, an accepting attitude, D, defining the problem, A, action planning, P, predicting outcomes, and T, trying and tweaking. So we're going to go over those all one more time. An accepting attitude, you make mistakes. Life gets in the way. You will get frustrated and annoyed. It takes experience. A lot of people say it takes time, it takes work, yada, yada, but it takes experience. It takes purposeful use of time and work. It takes experience to find out what works. Although you can dramatically cut down on all the experience you need to gain by taking from TKN's experience. That is definitely a perk. An accepting attitude also implies self-respect, evaluating stimuli, response, and outcomes instead of evaluating yourself as a person. By making mistakes, it's way different than being a mistake. And that is something that is always worth reminding. And you do have a solution to get better every time, all right? D, defining the problem, a practical problem, as it were, and in the context of an outcome. The more specific and practical of a problem, the more surgical Dr. Kashi can be about helping you devise a solution. And the more surgical you can be about devising a solution yourself. And what is the practical outcome of solving your practical problem? And assuming that your underlying beliefs and upsets are identified and addressed, then what is practically getting in the way? What are practical obstacles? Everyday things that you have to work around now that the mental stuff has been solved. Then you move on to action planning A, identifying even remotely actionable things based on your new rational priorities, rather than your other rigid, rigid and dogmatic beliefs. And the idea here is replacing the current self-sabotaging stuff with the new, more effective stuff. Then P, predicting the outcomes, which is predicting the usefulness of each action item on a scale of 0 to 100, and as a bonus, working through potential positives and negatives. And then last and most important, trying and tweaking T. And this is essentially taking the highest scoring action items first and seeing what happens. And check the results either on your own or with your support and see if you've made any improvement, and then tweak as you go to get better results every time. If the action item is a stud, then great, keep doing the do. If the action item is a dud, well then great, you have an exhaustive list of other things to keep trying. That's the kicker. The absolute worst case, where you exhaust all of your original options, is still pretty good because you can determine what beneficial aspect of each of your original solutions you can now formulate together to create a solution that will actually get you towards your result faster and better than you were doing before. Right? I hope that makes sense. You combine the beneficial aspects of each of the other things you've tried as a rational and iterative and systematic approach to problem solving. Right now, on to Tabitha. Let's see if we can get this beast to work here. I'm going to try and do something tricky here. Whoopsh. Okay. All right. I think we're on. Excellent. Tiny T is back. So, we're going to go over this together. This is curated from Tabitha's actual messages to Dr. Cashy. Commentary is added with emphasis to provide more clarity, so I'm going to read this stuff to you because this is what she wrote to me. And again, I did take out some cursing, and I did add in some of my own thoughts, which I changed the emphasis in the text to in respect to those changes, so it should be obvious. All right? So let's go on to Tabitha's accepting attitude A. She said, starting from the top here, "My doctor said my sugars are pre-diabetic. I don't know exactly what that is, but I know needles are scary, and I know diabetes leads to needles." That was an emotional one for me personally. She said, "I know it's important to exercise as part of my regular life instead of just whenever I feel fat and gross, which is now all the time, and I can't exercise all the time, even if I wanted to." She says, "I try to be realistic, but it feels like the harder I try, the worse my weight loss is. And I have made a lot of good progress before, and have even helped friends make good progress. So I know my advice is good, but when I feel like things are moving too slow, I have a hard time following my own advice." All right. Again, I have listed here, I edited out the curse words because Tabitha is a sailor. Curse is like a sailor, but you get the idea. She is both reasonable and accepting of her situation. And we introduced Tabitha in the last episode as someone who has effectively dieted her entire life. She started dieting herself down when she was a sophomore in high school, where she would lose 20-ish pounds and then over the course of the remainder of the year, maybe gain 25 back. And doing that for, gosh, over 10 years, almost 15 years. She netted a few pounds each time she dieted. She ended up dieting her whole life and is now 70 pounds heavier than when she started, having dieted her entire life, which then led to other metabolic derangements and health issues on top of the obvious, like, mental grossness of having to deal with dieting your whole life and still managing to gain 70 pounds. So remember, that is the context of, that this story is taking place, okay? So now that she definitely has an understanding that something needs to change and that she's accepting some risk, and that even though she knows she gives good advice, having issues following advice for herself, okay, now we can move on to defining the problem a little more acutely. And as I say here, I edit out curse words because she's a sailor. But again, she is reasonable and accepting of her situation. Since she has a good idea of both sides of the equation, she felt like she was in a good position to actually change for real, instead of changing just what she was doing sometimes until she was frustrated. Now we're on to defining the practical problem, the goal, as it were, right? Defining the practical problem. How serious, this in frame here, here's the big one. How serious Tabitha took sticking to her plan was directly dependent on and inversely correlated with how she felt her body weight was sticking to her. This is what it means translated. If Tabitha felt her progress was slowing down, then her desire to stick to her plan also went down. If she thought her progress totally stopped, then her desire to stick to her plan totally stopped with it. Do you see how nasty and self-fulfilling this is? She says, I feel like my plan has stopped working, so I'm going to stop sticking to my plan. And then lo and behold, everything stops working and this monster restarts itself. It was clear that Tabitha had the skills and the knowledge and the know-how to make the changes, right? It was clear that when she worked, the plan worked. However, it is also human nature to relax a little bit, ever so slightly, even imperceptibly. And as soon as you see some progress, it's easy to see, well, what is the minimum amount of work required to keep that progress going? And here's where it leads to the binary. This is where the binary thing is nasty, when you transition out of the biological continuum into the psychological binary, as it were. And that is, you end up adopting the mindset of, if I am making progress, then I am sticking to my plan. And the reality is that there are varying levels of adherence to a plan. And so you could adhere very little and still make progress. You could adhere completely and still make progress. And therefore, if you change how much you stick to your plan over time, less and less and less, you can still string out your results until eventually your adherence gets low enough and your results get slow enough that in your mind, you're still sticking to your plan, but your results end up stopping. And therefore you get into this mind effed state of, well, I'm sticking to the plan and nothing's happening. Therefore, either my body's broken, the plan doesn't work, or both. Okay. And so she has the mindset of, if I am making progress, then I'm sticking to my plan. Or if I am sticking to my plan, then I'm making progress, either or. This is clearly distorted. It's clearly distorted and destructive. Need to add my own emphasis here, because even though the psychology can be discrete and binary, Tabitha's biology is on a continuum, all right? It is clear, stepping back, that there are varying levels of stick-to-itiveness, right? I ended up ranting on that already, all right? So again, in her mind, in Tabitha's mind, she was following her plan up until the time she thought she had plateaued. And since she was sticking to her plan, and then her results stopped, the impulsive system one brain kicked on and said, well, the plan stopped working, I'll stop working too. And all these things happen in a few seconds, just a couple of frustrating experiences are all it takes. So this was defining the problem. Now let's get the practical aspects of this going down. So here's the practical issues. Tabitha was making decisions and acting based on what she thought should happen, based on what was actually happening. And this means that Tabitha's system of determining what was happening was haphazard and impulsive. In other words, if she felt the plan was producing results, she kept with the plan. If she thought it was not working, then she stopped. And then magically results stopped, thereby proving her assessment of the broken plan and or broken body correct. So here are some practical outcomes Tabitha looked out for. This is what the practical outcomes look like. One, to make decisions and act based on what was actually happening versus what she thought should be happening. Reasonable. And that Tabitha has a feedback-based system so that she puts information in and gets information back that then informs her decisions. So she has multiple ways of checking to see if she's progressing. And those checks are based in reality. They're based in reality, all right? And so here are practical obstacles to these practical problems and practical outcomes. In Tabitha's words, she is stressed out because she is being fed contradictory information from all sorts of sources all the time. And so it's overwhelming to think of, well, I am stuck, what now? Because everything is so confusing and weird and contradicting. And that Tabitha says, my only reality check right now is haphazardly stepping on the scale. So she would step on the scale when she felt good and when she felt like it. Sometimes it would give her a number she liked. Sometimes it would give her a number that she, well, didn't like. And then that would impact her decisions on whether or not she was going to continue sticking to the plan that she had and how well she would stick to it. See how this would create all sorts of funky results over time, netting a negative, in fact. And that the last practical obstacle she had in this context is that when she does plateau, she's alone in what to think. And she's alone in what to think and do. So she ends up ultimately giving up until she gets so frustrated again, she starts to process over. Right, so there is the defining the problem section. Now we're on to action planning and predicting the outcomes. Now, Dr. Cashy note here, Tabitha combined action planning and predicting the outcomes because it made it easier for her. Lots of clients end up doing this on their own, and that's okay. It's almost as if the ADAPT framework is supposed to flow into itself, as is written here. It is only written in discrete steps to make sense when you learn about it, okay? But when you actually do it, it ends up flowing together nicely. So here we're combining A and P, action planning and predicting the outcomes. Tabitha says, if I felt the compulsion to learn about anything related to fitness or weight loss, instead of Googling myself into a panic, she would do or look at three different options. Remember, one of the practical issues that she had is being fed contradictory information and feeling alone when she plateaus. So here are some action items to address those. See if we're in frame here. Yes. So here are the three things that she came up with. To ask about whatever the issue was in the private group or on the private calls. And she rated this an 85 out of 100 effectiveness for general things and 65 out of 100 effectiveness for personal stuff, which is fair. That seems like a reasonable way to address those sorts of options. And then the next option she had listed was scheduling a call, which she thought would be 100 out of 100 effectiveness. But sometimes she's too busy, and many times it's just a small thing that she didn't feel like she needed to take our time or her time and plan ahead and all this stuff for something that she felt was just tiny. And so that left her with the third option, which was just sending Dr. Cashy a message. And so is this less effective than a one-on-one phone call? Yes. But is it more effective than posting something private, like personal and private on in a forum where other people can read it? Perhaps yes. And so she found this is 90 out of 100 for effective for good, for general stuff and personal stuff. Okay, and then to keep track of her progress, because the other practical obstacle she had was that the only reality check she had right now was haphazardly stepping on the scale. These are her action items and predicted outcomes, excuse me, for that. We're in frame, good. So it's to keep track of my progress, Tabitha says, I'm gonna start doing more than just using the body weight scale when I randomly feel like it. And so her first action item was, well, I can weigh myself regularly. And she rated that as a 50 out of 100. She said that it's better than doing it randomly, but it's clear that she needs more information to be educated about her decisions. So it ended up being something that she included in the stuff that she looked at, but only changing that from haphazard to regular, she was right, is a poor option to continue making progress. It did alleviate some stress though. Random measurements often do more harm than regular ones. The next option she came up with is tracking her blood sugar, which she found marginally more useful than tracking her body weight regularly, but then decided that the endocrinologist's opinion was that she only needed to do that if she was full-blown diabetic, which she was not yet, even though it sounded interesting and almost kind of fun for her to learn what was going on inside of her body, she decided that she would avoid it for now. And then the last thing that she looked into was something that is now integrated into TKN's uptake process, is going through Dr. Cashy's and TKN's calibration phase. And her commentary is, I'll pay more attention to what I eat and what I do, but I don't have to change either of those things right away. I only have to keep track of what I'm doing and then report back to Dr. Cashy after about a week, and then we can figure out what to do next. This is definitely different, but if I keep doing the same stuff, I'll keep getting fatter and sicker. This turned my stomach when I read this the first time. This is her commentary. And so you can see her literally thinking through the decisions, literally thinking through her options in a reasonable and scientific way as she goes, right? And now we are left with trying and tweaking. Trying and tweaking. Here we go. She said, I decided at least for a little while to focus more on messages. So after she's going through her options, right? To focus more on messages because they were a little bit quicker. And she only needed some quick stuff here and there, and she was still too shy about being active on Facebook or on calls. And she still is, but she's still cranking. She's still cranking, right? And the second part about keeping track of information and reality checks to inform her decisions, she said that she's going for the gusto, her phrase, with Dr. Cash's calibration phrase. And then a week later, she added, after 1 week, I've lost 5 pounds, and all I've started doing was paying more attention. I've been doing all of the same stuff, but now I notice what I'm doing, and it's made me wonder what I've been doing the last 14 years, because whatever she was doing before was haphazard and based on feel instead of grounded in reality, right? And this is Dr. Cashy's note here. This is a very common note from people starting TKN's calibration phase, where you actually pay attention to what you're doing. It gives you a ton of perspective and gets the ball rolling on its own, because it becomes obvious, like, oh, here are my lowest hanging fruit. These things are easiest to change and give me the most bang for buck. They end up showing themselves immediately, right? And then this is a note that I put in her file, and that is, within 3 months, Tabitha's blood work corrected itself back into healthy ranges. And she ended up losing 23 plus pounds within the first 3 months, okay? And she does have a way to go, which is what she said, but she will do well. And she did. Now, having lost 100 pounds and healthier than other people her age, right? And I've included this for funsies, right? So remember to throw down a hashtag tantrum if you've ever given up on something because it was too frustrating. And now looking back, you realize you could have totally rocked it. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!